Blog Talk Radio.
Show, I'm your host, Chef Rob, here at Blog Talk Radio. Tonight, we want to talk about Reverend Al Sharpton coming to Chicago. What the hell is he going to change? Buster's Purvis. I have been having these problems here for years. I think he's seen a money-making opportunity like most of these poverty pimps. So I invited a lot of people from Chicago, people who say they're doing stuff, people who got an interest here. This cat ain't got no business coming over here. I don't feel it, dude. I just feel it's just going ahead and snuff another fundraiser for his ass. Another poverty pimp going ahead and making money. So, you know, we want to go ahead and address that. We asking ourselves before we go ahead and take it to him in a bigger form when he gets it. What the hell are you doing here? Why are you coming to Chicago? Why are you moving in now all of a sudden? You should be going ahead and making this a big thing here. Are you? And I want to go ahead and see. If you're going to be here, I want to see some better results than what I've been seeing out this cat. Go ahead and be true to the game. Or can he be true? The thing that bugs me most is that these guys go ahead and use these issues as fundraising things. And what people don't see that. You got to say something about this shit here. This is wrong. So, looking at his past, you know, at one time he was saying a whole lot of stuff that got a whole lot of people behind him, especially a lot of black folks that was behind him and support him. Not sure when he began to flip, when he began to change, turncoat type deal. I know it's around the time just before we start running for president. I think that's when he really started to change. One of the things on the table I want to go ahead and see, it's a few issues I want to go ahead and see him talking about. But gun violence in Chicago has been a thing for, you know, many, many years. But I want to go ahead and see him talk about, hey, the lack of industry that black people are running. Businesses that he's setting up. They can talk about jobs forever, but that shit ain't gonna never change our situation. It's just another form of modern day sharecropping and even a little bit of a little slave thing going on. So I don't see him going ahead and doing nothing but going ahead and seeing a money making opportunity just like all these other cats have been doing. I mean, these marches, protests you had, doing that Trayvon Martin thing where you had so many people who were backing you. You didn't do nothing with that energy, but go on here and make money. It's way past time we go here and confront these fuckers, man. It's way past time. It's been got beyond just ridiculous with that. And you want to come and address the gun violence issue here, yeah, you got to go ahead and address the youth. Because you got a lot of young cats who just really, really lost their mind out here with it. Pick up a gun because they losing the video game. Now pick up their gun because they're going to go ahead and shoot somebody with a silly little argument. Silly argument over tennis shoes. Step on my shoes and I'm going to shoot you. Knowing damn well you're going to throw them fucking shoes in the closet in about 2 or 3 months. You ain't going to never see them fuckers no more. That don't make no sense to me, man. It's time to put more efforts into going ahead and educating the youth and going ahead and building up something. Some of these fuckers out here, this 20s, 30s, 40s, and upwards, they fucking heads are gone. Take what you got. Deal with your losses. You know, cut your losses and then go ahead and try to just build and get the little amount of people and deal with the young people out here, the younger folks. And I don't even mean grade school. I mean pre-grade, preschool. I mean way early. Early dealing with a lot of young people. Black leadership today are nothing but a bunch of poverty pimps. And Al Sharpton is like about the king of the poverty. I say he's maybe like second in command to Jesse Jackson. Second. Running neck and neck at times with Messy Jesse. Jesse ain't doing shit. Jesse ain't got rich. Shit, Al Sharpton got rich. Al Sharpton got a TV show talking about black people's problems and shit, and ain't done nothing. I really think that that money you made from going ahead and getting that damn TV show should have gone straight to the community and creating industry. I'm big on dealing with farms, farming and agriculture. That's how you make money, real money. You can make and create technology. You go ahead and put from like a five-acre farm, you can go ahead and put together a lot of people. You can employ a lot of people. You can put together a lot of businesses. You can go ahead and have people processing it, creating their own shops, their own markets, their own supermarkets, restaurants. Create. You can go ahead and grow the different types of food to go ahead and deal with some of our health ills. The machinery we use to go ahead and deal with what's going on the farm. You can go ahead and deal with compost. Somebody go ahead and be specializing in one. It's just so much shit you can go ahead and do to go ahead and create industry. And it's really, really ridiculous that these people don't go ahead and see that. But to go ahead and do more of these people going to go ahead and do their marches and all that other little nonsense. And this guy coming here, he just sees a money-making opportunity. I just don't see nothing he's really going to really do, because you look at his past and what he's done up until this point. He ain't done shit. It's time that people go ahead and confront some of these people, these so-called black niggas. Make these Negroes hush. You can pretty much hush them up and ask them where that money is. Hey, Al, what you doing with that money from that your TV show? You rubbing elbows with these fuckers in Congress, in Washington. Why aren't you doing something to go ahead and bring them over here to go ahead and create industry? It's enough vacant lots to go ahead and create some kind of urban farming situation here. You can tackle a whole bunch. You can go ahead and take care of a lot of ills by just dealing with the vacant lots here in Chicago, and it's growing. Look at Detroit. It's damn near one big vacant lot in the lot. It's ridiculous. Brother Jerry.
What?
How you doing, man?
Man, I'm doing okay.
I was looking at that
thing the other night when it came on TV about Al Sharpton moving to the west side of Chicago, him and Martin Luther King III, and they want to shine light on the violence here in the city of Chicago. Well, it's been violent in the city of Chicago forever, like you said in earlier in the show. And it got worse when the project came down. See, we can't never evade the issue about the project being taken down. When the project got taken down, all hell broke loose.
Yeah.
It was the same thing going on in the project. It was killing us every day, all day in the project. Yeah. It was families being run out of the project every day, all day. They were setting their apartments on fire and everything. Stand outside on the tier and pour gasoline all on their windows, burn the motherfucker up, tell them, come on outside or you're going to die in there. We're going to kill you anyway, so you might as well come on out of here because we're going to kill you. You know, so this is nothing new. This is nothing new. But
it's
now,
new.
You
mean, like, I live in the projects. I ain't see shit. I'm like, what the fuck, man? It's all the same damn game, man. These fools ain't doing nothing. But they done found, but your boys done found a way to profit off of it. And
man,
they got a whole bunch of dudes, and you know yourself, because we talked about it before. They got a whole bunch of spies running through the community, going ahead and they letting people know. Sometimes they let you know, but they want to go ahead and slide up next to you, go ahead next to you and get a report, run back to Jesse and Al Sharpton and all these other
guys. All guys do is sit up here. They've been doing this shit since the 60s. Number bullshit. Pissing their own damn people. And you can see, you know, everybody else is moving up in the world. Their community is looking greater and better than ever before.
But you're coming out. We've been pushed out of our communities. You ain't really got one. It's more like a refugee camp in a sense. You can't do nothing in the fucking areas. Okay. Go ahead. You got to go ahead and move out there. Go ahead and get on the bus. You don't just get no bus card. You don't go ahead and pay your fare. You got to go ahead and show ID getting on the bus almost. What you doing over here? Showing your ID getting on the bus. That's crazy.
Oh, man. Well, you know, even with the thing with the Robbins, Illinois incident, where all those folks in Robbins and so many blocks and areas around Robbins, Illinois, have to move. Now, how in the world did a company come into this area without the politicians that oversee this area? How in the world they did not know this? How in the world that they did not know this?
Jerry, I'm not really familiar with that, so explain it to me a little bit better. What's going on in Robbins?
All the people in Robbins is so many.
Wait, Jerry, hold on. Jerry, isn't that where Dwayne Wade come from? Didn't he live in Robbins?
Robbins, Illinois.
Didn't Dwayne Wade live down there?
Yeah, well, listen, we got so many different blocks and so many, about 100 and some families have to move. Now,
they
own the houses, but these people's coming in with this new company talking about they want to build some mines and everything up underneath the ground and everything. What the hell they got going on around here? What's going on around here?
Mm-hmm.
Why are they coming out there and getting ready to build an underground mine and everything else? What's going on? This is some land grabbing going on, and they Robbins, Illinois, they was already living out there in the pits of hell. They ain't got no street lights out there. It's pitch black. The murder rate out there is through the roof. You know, you can go out there and kill somebody out there and get away with it. They'll never find the body.
Right.
And so now my thing is this. Okay, they're coming for Robbins right now. Then the next thing they're going to do is come for Dalton. They're going to come for Dalton. They're going to come for Harvey. They're going to come for all that out there. Kegerman. They come for all that. They ain't just going to come for Robbins, Illinois. This is just the beginning.
Right.
They making sure that they get our black asses completely away from Chicago.
Right. And Jesse coming here to go ahead and help me push it out. Because it's parts of the west side that you know that they want to go ahead and connect that. They got to go ahead and cut out all that stuff over there and go ahead and make a straight thoroughfare going to the western suburbs.
Well, man, the west side, you know, my uncle has got property over there and rehabbed it and everything. Them properties over there, man, they're going for $400,000, $500,000, $600,000, $700,000 when the real estate game was booming. I mean, over there around Adams and Lawrence and Madison, all over there, man, that was some nice, you know, that was some nice stuff. And because it's still close to downtown, and anything that's close to downtown, they want it. Simple as that. And they don't just want it. They gonna take it. And now,
but that's what they did to the immediate areas to the north and to the south of downtown Chicago. They moved out a lot of people from those areas right away. Moved them out way the fuck out.
Well, they moved them out through the control of Section 8 and subsidized housing. You can only move where they tell you to move. You can only move where Section 8 give you a list of where they taking Section 8 at. And then, you know, my uncle got a property up here in the city. And Section 8 come through there. Oh, you got to tear up this doggone concrete right here in the front. Wait a minute, that's the city property. Well, you got to tear this up right here in this little lane going up the stairs. We want you to tear all this up and put down a new sidewalk. He said, what? He said, yeah, we want you to tear all this up and put down a new sidewalk. He said, well, you know what you can do? You can get off my property. And, don't worry about me no more, because I'm not going through all this. Y'all want me to tear up this piece of walkway, this walkway, and put down a new walkway? Hey, they make it hard for blacks to even own property in the city of Chicago. They make it hard for blacks to even rent property to black folks in the city of Chicago. They making it hard for our peoples here in the city of Chicago.
But here's, let me throw something else at you. You know, it's more of a thing where the lack of education here makes that possible. Do you think so? Because I think that going ahead, the more they under-educate the youth, each generation gets worse. So you don't look the toy. Go ahead and look at what's out there to protect you, and how you can go ahead and build something. How you can go ahead and generate that and create that industry I was talking about earlier. Because we don't really have nothing like that. You think so?
We don't have nothing. No, that's what happened to our people from Woodlawn. I'm born and raised in Woodlawn, and that's what happened to us over in Woodlawn. We sat there and we thought that, oh, well, we got black leaders in place. We got black organizations in place, and they got our back. They got our back. We really thought that as a people, as a community, we really thought that all these black organizations that was in our community, the NAACP, all of them, the Urban League, all of them, we thought they had our back, and we come to find out they was the worst damn nightmare that we ever could even imagine.
Mm.
They was the ones, we had to worry about no white man. It was our own black nigger leaders that was doing this to us.
Mm.
It was our own black nigger preachers that was doing this to us, and they doing it to us for the almighty dollar. They wouldn't care if the black community don't never prosper.
How many times have you seen Al Sharpton go ahead and say he's really gonna do something? He's just hooking up with the clergy here. I mean, he says he's coming here to go ahead and talk to deal with the gun violence issue, but you know, is that really what the thing is? Is the gun violence?
Well, why don't he get his ass out there? And stay, not no 3 months, stay for good. Move in the community and move on the block. Stay for good. Walk up and down these blocks. Don't have no security. Walk up and down these blocks. Walk
and
up
that's something
like
else. How much damn security he's going to have? He's going to have something going for, you know, 4 or 5 blocks and a helicopter, ain't?
We don't have no security. We don't have no cameras. We don't have no cameras, no police officers, no bodyguards, none of that going with us when we move around this city.
Hold on, Jerry, but Al Sharpton going to have all that stuff. Don't you think the neighborhood's going to be safe when he's in there, right?
We don't need it. Why should he need all that and he coming in the community, him and Martin Luther King III, they coming in the community with black people? And how in the hell is Martin Luther King III coming to Chicago talking about they coming up here to do some help up here? Look at Atlanta. Atlanta is a pit of hell down there.
Sure is.
I got a friend living in Atlanta. She going, this is a bunch of bullshit. Look at Atlanta. Atlanta is all messed up.
So like I said, this is another fundraising for it. So how do you go ahead and confront them and go ahead and ask them where that money is?
What money? They gonna tell you
the money he's gonna go ahead and collect from this coming to Chicago. This is a fundraising thing. You don't think he's gonna go ahead and collect money? You don't think that some of these churches are gonna get together on Monday morning and go ahead and hand Al Sharpton a check?
Man, all these church preachers, you know, our people.
No. Don't you think that they're gonna go ahead and hand him a check on Monday morning?
Shit, they gonna hand him a check. Shoot, they gonna hand each other a damn check. The preachers, they stick together. The hell with the congregation.
Well, we see that.
The congregation. Shit. They care less about the damn congregation. Shit.
So, man.
We
Al Sharpton fits right into that, don't you think? I mean, he's a preacher.
In Woodlawn, we was the congregation, man. My great-grandma, my grandmama, my grandpa, we was the congregation. Everybody in Woodlawn was the congregation, man.
Mm.
And we got kicked in our ass.
Mm.
So I look at all this. I told the guys that was over there with him. I said, y'all trust this nigga?
Mm.
Well, y'all going with the nigga then, since y'all trust this nigga? I said, I don't trust none of them.
Mm.
I don't. I got to keep it real. For one, I'm looking at where I grew up at. And I'm looking at the trials and tribulations that my own family faced.
Mm-hmm.
And how my mother, my grandmama, and all of them, and on my mama's side, on my daddy's side, how everybody fought. And I'm looking at how they all got crossed out by these same niggas.
Same ones, huh?
I'm looking at how they got crossed out.
Mm.
How they were kicking legs. My mother was involved in this ever since she was like 14 years old. She's 65 now. And if you tell my mother, you know, this is what you look at this. I'm looking at this. I'm going now. All they do is change the faces. So now what they do is they brought Al in and Martin Luther King III in to make us feel that, okay, we got some new faces coming in here. Maybe they ain't going to do shit neither.
They ain't going to do shit either.
They ain't going to do a goddamn thing.
I told you it's a fundraising thing here. Let me. I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna play this clip a couple of times on the show because I always got to play this one. I didn't play it my last show, but I don't see none of them saying what's going on in this clip here. Hold on. This is about Martin Luther King.
At the very same time that America refused to give the Negro any land, through an act of Congress, our government was giving away millions of acres of land in the West and the Midwest, which meant that it was willing to undergird its white peasants from Europe with an economic floor. But not only did they give the land, they built land-grant colleges with government money to teach them how to farm. Not only that, they provided county agents to further their expertise in farming. Not only that, they provided low interest rates in order that they could mechanize their farms. Not only that, today many of these people are receiving millions of dollars in federal subsidies not to farm, and they are the very people telling the black man that he ought to lift himself by his own bootstraps. Now, this is what we are faced with, and this is the reality. Now, when we come to Washington in this campaign, we are coming to get our check.
Welcome back to the Chef Rob Show. Hey, Jerry, let me ask you something real quick. Do you think Martin Luther King Jr. III, do you think that brother going to go ahead and say what his daddy said on that clip?
No, I don't. He's, you know, we all are nothing like our, you know, parents. So he's not, you know, his father was real. His father was real, so real to the point that he did give his life.
Mm-hmm.
His father gave his life. He kept it too real. He wasn't about to dumb down his own people. He wasn't trying to cause no race riots, nothing like that. He was just trying to make it right for us all. But that's why they killed him. See, he wasn't a part of that dumb down the blacks, give them milk and tell them to, you know, give them some milk and keep them quiet and put them in church and read them the Bible and tell them to pray. He wasn't about, you know, trying to do all that. He was about bringing forth the light to let them see that this can be a better way. But now here we are, 2013, from 1967 when he did that. And here we are. He started the Poor People Campaign back then. And all of them sit up there and say, oh, well, we love Dr. Martin Luther King. We love what he stood for. But all they did was live off the man's legacy.
I mean, that's why he going around, and him and Al Sharpton together, partnering up together. I mean,
man, it ain't just him and Al. It's all these damn preachers.
They're just
putting Al out there in the front and Martin Luther King III out there in the front. But see, it's a whole council of them motherfuckers. It's a whole council of them goddamn bastards. It's a whole council of them statewide. It's not just them two. It's a whole council of them, man. And they running this thing like a bunch of damn gangsters. They put money in their pocket. The hell with the Negroes, with black people. They don't care. They don't care. And until black folks really understand that and realize that, we're going to continue to have these same damn problems. Because they don't care. You know, a friend of mine called me last night and told me, well, you know, they're giving the property to nonprofit organizations. I said, well, when you got your information from that individual, how come they didn't walk you through the steps? How come they didn't walk you through the steps to show you how to go about getting you a property? How come they don't trust you, huh? So why should you trust them? You know, they put niggas against niggas. That's all they do. They play that damn Uncle Tom crap. They put house niggas against the field niggas. This is the Jim Crow thing. And our black leaders, so-called leaders, they have been doing this to us since day one. And then we got our black politicians. Look at our communities. Look at our communities. But yet and still, when white folks, Asians, and Mexicans, and Puerto Ricans, and Arabs start moving in our communities, all of a sudden, they got money to build these communities, to rebuild them. All of a sudden, this money coming in, they building all over this town. But yet still, when it was just all black, they didn't have no money, no finance, no economic growth, no nothing to rebuild our communities. They said that we was the problem. They said we was the problem. But yet still, now you come to, man, you come over here. And you will not watch. I'm telling you, they're coming over there on that west side because that west side got all them gray stones and the red stone buildings over there. And that's where they're gonna bring some light to the area, all right. Every time, in these communities that they deem to be very violent, go to realestate.com. Realtor.com. Type in those zip codes to those areas, and you'll see that those properties over there are dirt cheap. And I went over there just a few weeks ago, and man, I got the properties all over in the over in Inglewood is dirt cheap. Out in the Hundreds is dirt cheap. They're giving away two flats. For $10,000 and $15,000.
So check this out. Hey, so this guy is—he's here. Also, go ahead and deal with some land grab. Also, that what you think? Why he's here?
Anytime they label a community as being a violent dead zone, killing field, the property value goes down, and when the property value goes down, developers come in, and they buy up the whole doggone land. They buy up the whole community.
Same was Jesse involved in something like that a few years ago in Chicago?
We've been over this same damn bridge a million times, man.
With this dude here. So this is just a rerun, right?
Number the instant replay.
Knowledge, your line is open.
Yeah, good evening, gentlemen. I'm kind of coming in the conversation late, so I'm just trying to get a good idea of what's being discussed. And I like what the brother is saying, especially when he tied in, the old civil rights movement and how it either depending on how you look at it, it either progressed or it digressed. And I think for those of us who are in the know, it definitely digressed. And one of the things that I always touch upon when people talk about America and its history is that from 1960 to 1970, that was America's Renaissance period. That was an awakening that the general public was going through, not just black people, even though they galvanized the movement, but they were waking up white people as well. And if you look back on it, at that time, you had Medgar Evers. I'm sorry. The first one I wanted to mention was who was the brother, Marcus Garvey,
right,
who was the head of the Pan African movement. He died. Then you had multiple assassinations, which were unprecedented in any country over a 10-year period. Medgar Evers, John F. Kennedy, Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, and Bobby Kennedy. Now, what I always try to get people to understand about this movement was they were killing these people in public forums. John F. Kennedy and his brother got killed on television to where they let everybody see it. Matter of fact, Bobby Kennedy was in L.A. accepting the Democratic nomination for the presidency, standing at the podium, got shot point blank in the back of the head while he was talking.
Yeah.
John F. Kennedy got shot during a parade in Dallas, Texas. Malcolm X got shot at the Audubon in I think it was Harlem. I might be wrong. He might have been in Chicago. I'm not sure.
It was the Audubon Theater.
Broad daylight. Martin Luther King. Broad daylight. That created a huge shift in the whole psychological movement that the United States was going through. And when we look at what's going on today, and like the brother had said earlier, the ones that benefited from all of this, Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, your pimps in the pulpits, they all benefited from this because they rode the coattails of that movement, and then they tried to recreate the movement without it being controversial. And when I say without it being controversial, was that they tried to tie in that whole thing about, okay, we should have equal rights and all that. And at that point in time, hell, we already understood that. And then Jesse was coming with the Rainbow Coalition and Operation Push. And, you know, and I always ask people this about Jesse Jackson. He's a reverend. Where is his church?
It's in Chicago.
He got a church that he preaches at.
Jerry, do he still preach in the church?
No,
he
don't.
He comes there sometimes.
He's right there at Push.
Right. And where's that?
He comes in and he politics. He don't preach. He don't give no sermons. When's the last time Jesse Jackson gave a sermon at church? I mean, at least I give Al Sharpton that. He do have a church in Harlem, and he does preach at his church. But not to digress, these brothers work off of sensationalism. They find the hot-button issues, and it amazes me how they're able to show up. They're like our military. They can mobilize themselves anywhere in the world in less than 24 hours. It don't matter. It just depends on what's going on. And they're there in less than 24 hours, fully staffed, everything in place, podium set up, microphones right in front of them, and they're ready to talk. And just like what the brother was saying with Chicago, see, they started that gentrification in Detroit, and now they're moving it to Chicago, and they're doing it to all of these major cities that have a huge urban population. They're gentrifying them. I saw a show on PBS, and you guys might even know about this. It's about this Asian dude who went into Chicago, and when they shut down Cabrini Greens in that whole area, he bought the whole thing up.
Sure
did. And now they turn it into condos.
Yep. Oh, man.
Yep. And you're right. And they bring it all of them out of Chinatown. And they've been to stretch Chinatown way down to all the way downtown. They done bought up all that stuff. Them China people done bought up all that stuff over there.
And now they're selling it for dirt. Like the brother said, they're selling it dirt cheap. And the funny thing about when they was interviewing him while he was driving around in his Lamborghini, he kind of felt guilty about it because they were showing the people that they had to move out, you know, that was living in these areas and had to find a new place to go, because what the city did was The city just shut the damn buildings down, and then, like the brother was saying, they put it up for sale. Okay, he's got unlimited cash flow. He's buying the buildings for pennies on the dollar, and then he's converting them, and then they were showing where it was under construction, where it was bullet holes in the window and everything. He was like, yeah, I got to replace all this stuff. He said, but I kind of feel bad because here you are, and I don't know what train that is. When you look out the window at Cabrini Greens, there's a train that goes by. I don't know what.
Which one is that, Jerry? That's the blue line?
That's the
Amtrak. Right. And he was looking at a train that was going by, and he was like, man, something, you know, and he was conflicted because at the same time he knew he was going to make money, he knew he was disenfranchising people at the same time. However, that bottom dollar was talking to him because he knows once he gets that building together and then businesses start moving in there, then the real money's going to start to be made. And that's all I wanted to say on that.
Right, brother, because you ain't never lying. The ARAL was late. I was sitting late on 43rd Street just yesterday, and she told me, she said she was going through an area, and she said she looked down through there, and it was all ARAL. ARAL living in baby mansions and everything. They didn't build their own community right here in Chicago. And they're not just here in Chicago. They're out in the suburbs. They built their own communities. And here we are, been here since time never was, and we've been looking like we're the enemy.
Nation for Word document. Yes, I need you to start taking notes and documenting some stuff.
Okay.
Here you go for your review.
Okay.
Hello?
Yeah,
I'm here.
Yeah, what was going on with that, man? What's
that? You're right. The Chinese, they expanded. They coming all the way clean over to State Street and beyond. You're not just in Chinatown no more.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah, and see, that's what I was saying. Al Sharpton is going ahead and coming here, and what he's doing is he's going to go ahead and be part of that new kicking folks out. That new thing.
Man, they're going to kick you off from over there, and when you look up, they're going to classify that west side as being nothing but a community of death and destruction and violence.
They've already done that. I'm surprised they didn't go out south. I don't know why they didn't go out south with that, to the south side of Chicago. I think the west side is going to be a little bit easier for them to take over. Out south will be a little bit really, 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 really rough thing.
But I can tell you exactly why they do that. I can tell you why they do that. Because what they do is, in a city like Chicago that is so big, what they'll do is they'll designate a certain part that needs to be switched over, and then they'll let that sort of manifest itself. And then once they see that that has worked, it's going to filter out through the rest of the parts of the city. So that area that you guys are talking about, that's the jumping off point. That's the jump off. Let's get a whole bunch of killings going. Let's get this in the news. Let's let everybody know this is, I think what they started calling Chicago Chi-Rac.
That's right. That's what it is. Chi-Rac, the killing field.
Yeah. It's a little rough over here, man. It's a little rough. I mean, every day there's some stuff going on over here.
And what they do is they create slogans, which makes it easy to politicize what's going on.
But here's the thing. See, Al Sharpton's coming over here. He's talking about the gun violence here. And so, I mean, I don't see him going ahead really doing that. It's just another way for him to raise money. And he's not addressing a whole lot of the issues. I mean, talking about the gun thing here, the gun debate, this is something else to also go ahead and get people to look at his show.
Well, I've seen all the people they had with him over there at the press conference and everything. But I tell you, it ain't nothing but an instant replay. That's all it is.
It is. And that, this was something else. I would like to go ahead and see them because, like I was saying earlier about the farming piece, coming here, you know, they just want to go ahead and keep the status quo. This helps keep them making money. They making profits off poverty. They're not going ahead and building anything. I mean, the one thing, if you really want to go ahead and impress me by going ahead and dealing with the black farmers, the one they lost to a few years ago. And I don't see them really going ahead and making a great effort and push to go ahead and get the black farmers that money or go ahead and create something off the black farmers. But now, right now, I mean, the black farmers won they won like, I think, about almost $1 billion. And all this land here, I mean, you can go ahead and do something and bring them black farmers in to go ahead and create industries and go ahead and put a whole lot of people in business, create entrepreneurs. And all this dude is doing is coming in and want to talk about the nonsense that's going on. And this stuff's been going on in Chicago for years. And he's gotten the ear of a lot of local politicians. I mean, they're waiting in line to go ahead and deal with this dude. I talked to some people here, and on Sunday night when he first got here, it was amazing how when people, because Sierra, you and I talked, man. It was amazing how people who were like, oh, man, we talked to Al Sharpton. I was like, man, do you understand what's going on?
Like this brother right here said, the last time he came, he was up there on 79th and Stony Island at the old Regal. Now this time he going on the west side. He went over there on 79th and Stony Island, over there to the Regal, and shit. Ain't no killing stopped over there. See, they really don't want to get the real black men that run these streets, that can get out here in these streets and move around. They don't want them to the table. They get these damn house niggas and bring them to the table so they can make a fool out of them. But if anybody know the history on these house niggas here, you know you can't trust them.
Right, right. And here's the question, though, that begs to be asked. Anytime a brother, whether it's Al Sharpton or anybody else, okay, anytime you can get up and hold a press conference and you can talk about moving your operation and you're not really moving your operation, you're just expanding your operation. Okay, let's make sure we understand the difference between the two. He might say he's moving his operation, but what he's doing is expanding it. The one thing that they're not telling us is, You're a preacher. Who's backing you financially to be able to do this shit?
Mm-hmm. That's what we were talking about. Look, man.
Where are you getting this money from?
Look, that's what we were talking about. One of the things, they're getting a lot of money from these preachers. And he go to these churches. And also he's promoting his book here, too. He's on he's promoting his book here in Chicago, too. So... this is a money-making thing for him.
Right, right. But the reason why I brought that up, Rob, is because I think it was during either the Clinton or the Bush administration where the legislation got passed to where they openly let religious people into the political arena. Because when Bush was president, who was his spiritual advisor? T.D. Jakes.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
T.D. was his spiritual advisor. So once they opened that door, and America likes to pride itself on separation of church and state, which is not what people think. Separation of church and state has to do with the fact that you can practice whatever religion that you want. However, church and state are intertwined because it is a for-profit organization or organizations that are not charged taxes. And what they tried to do is they tried to pull the religious clergy in on a political level. so that they started getting funding from the government. And that's why you see all this correctness in the churches where they don't speak out, because they're getting government funding.
Right, and they don't want to get rid of their 501c3 status.
Exactly.
Well, wasn't that part of the faith-based initiative thing?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's
exactly.
Right. That's what it was,
exactly.
Faith-based initiative. You're right.
Exactly. That was it. And guess who spearheaded that? The black church.
Oh, really?
The black preacher.
The black
church. So blacks involved in the own destruction, right?
Yeah, that's what we always have been. That's what we've been trying to tell you, Chief Rob. Look at this, man. You look downtown here, all you see is a beautiful communities. And you go over there around 63rd, 67th, now you got Chinese people over there, and they moving in. They moving in all down 35th Street. They moving in all down here on 26th, 29th, 32nd. They moving in. The Mexicans, the poor. I'm not saying that we should have communities of our own, but it was a time when you wouldn't even see all these people coming in our communities. But now, they all over our communities. And all we can do is just stand there and look. Now, where we got to go next? Well, follow to the hundreds. They're going to continue to push us out. Now, when you were saying, how come he didn't go to the south side? Al Sharpton and them already went to the south side of Chicago. They don't have to worry about the south side of Chicago because it's been given to the developers for the next 100 years.
Oh, really?
The south side of Chicago has already gone to the developers. It's already a done deal with the south side of Chicago. It's done. And then it's done with Inglewood. Inglewood now got some kind of private company that's coming in there now and telling everybody they got to move too. The same thing they're getting ready to do out there in Robbins is the same thing they're doing over there in Inglewood. And you look on there, go to realtors.com and type in those zip codes and you'll see those properties all over in them violent communities are pennies on a dollar, and you got these secret companies coming in, and what they tell you is they're coming in with private donations.
Yep.
Private donations.
Yep.
That way they don't have to open their books publicly to nobody, not even the government.
Yep. Mm. Yep.
So you would never know who they're getting this money from. You would never know it. And then we sitting around here, these black, so-called black preachers, talking about how they love the black kids. They don't give a fuck about our damn black kids and grandkids. They don't care. They don't care. They pushing them all out the city. And look, they going out here to these doggone schools. They being attacked. They just had a brawl today at Julian's High School on 103rd. And they had over 20-some kids out there fighting like dogs. Then out there in the suburbs farther out, they had a bunch of other kids out there fighting a few weeks ago, attacking each other from different schools, from different high schools. This is all they doing is that looking at us as the problem, and they pushing the problem completely out of the city of Chicago, out to these suburbs, and pretty soon they're going to get us out there where the next 50 years, we're going to be gone. All
yes.
Only we're going to be in this city, even in the city. And this brother on the other line, he right. I'm looking over there now, over there around the railroad tracks, over there, right down there where them Chinese people's been bought up all that. They got all that real estate, all the way down to downtown. They bought it up. See, they at the table of decision-making. And the Mexicans is at the table of decision-making. And the Polish is at the table of decision-making. Every race is at the table of decision-making, and they're not being cut out, and they're not being lied to, they're not being hoodwinked, they're not being nigger-winked by these house niggas. They're in there, and they know what's going on. You know, anytime these Mexicans over here in a little village, they got a brand-new school built. All because
yeah.
They came together and they protested. and they did a sit-in. They stayed on the doggone land. They slept out there until they finally got the doggone paper signed that they were going to have a $50 million school built there, and it's done. It's built. Now they didn't gave them a brand-new playground over there. What happened to the souls of our people, of our black people, is because of this. You go out here now, brothers, and you talk to these people, our people in the community. Well, what's going on? Why don't y'all get involved? Oh, man, to hell with that shit. We won't get nothing. These house niggas at the top, the gatekeepers, all they're going to do is keep on pushing us out. They ain't letting us get in. They ain't letting us get in. And you got to understand one thing. This is not just by design. These house niggas is willing to destroy their own people. They not just, held hostage at gunpoint. They are willing to destroy our people. Willing. And then they get up in the churches and tell our people, well, I'm driving a $500,000 car, but see, God bless me, and I'm highly favored. Don't get jealous. Just get like me. I live in a $5 million mansion. God bless me. God ain't blessed you with shit. It was the people in the church.
Tell it, dear.
It was the people in the church, your congregation, that you took that note out on that car, that you took that note out on that $5 million mansion, that you took that note out on that church, your congregation. If you lose your congregation, you can't pay a damn dime, and then you're sitting there talking what God that gave you. And whatever kind of God you serving that tells you to look out for some and damn the rest, then you need to be dead, and that God need to be dead too, because I can't serve him. And I ain't going to serve no God like that. We're looking at, man, it's a shame. Now we got all these white cops, which we always did have a bunch of white cops, but now we got all these white cops coming in our communities and these black cops coming in our communities. They know that don't nobody give a damn about black folks, or black folks don't give a damn about black folks. So they do what they want to do to our people. You know, they just another John Burns, Brannigans, and Callahans to our people. You know, and Mayor Rahm Emanuel, he sit his ass down there in the mayor's seat down there, but yet still, he got connections to the whole black community, to our preachers, to our black politicians. They do what he say do. They do what he wants to be done. There ain't none but house niggas. And they do it and it's just like the Daley family. The Daley family ran Chicago for many years. And they still run Chicago behind the scenes. Don't nobody go against them peoples. But yet still in our communities, we still struggle through the same strikes, the same illnesses, the same everything. And all we do is fight each other like crabs in a barrel, because there's nothing in our community that's lifting us up. We don't have any factories. We don't have any doggone programs in the community. Al Sharpton got 36 chapters in 36 states. But yet and still, where's the programs? Where's the program? You got 36 chapters. Where is the programs? You're getting all these millions and millions of dollars. You go get you a life-changing surgery to make you from a 500-pound man to a 120-pound man, you're living good. You're living great. He looked like he looked better when he was 500 pounds, like he damn near dead now. But anyway, here you go with this. You know, our people sit back and play off our own people. Our schools, our kids in these schools is 4 or 5 years behind than other schools, than white kids in white schools.
You know something? Here's something that's crazy about that. The thing is that the educational system here, what they do in the black neighborhood, the education system here, education system in the U.S., I think the in math, I think the U.S. was something like 17th or 18th, and reading there's something like 24th in the world. We're talking about in the world when the industrialized company, and science is something like 17, 18. But the part that hurts that those numbers is in the black communities, the numbers are even lower when you go ahead and go nationally. So when they go ahead and they do this calculation, it looks even worse. And so that's one of the reasons they were talking about abolishing the Department of Education, was to go ahead so people can get private education and to try to separate the U.S. looking bad from around the world. Did you see something like that?
They were just taking us back to the 1940s and 1930s, 1920s, get the blacks up out of their school. That's all that is. And you go to these schools now where our kids go to school, that you go up in there, them kids is, and then the parents, you know, we got the black community. Yeah, man, we've been betrayed so much there, they don't even want to get involved no more. They just don't care.
No, again, this dude is not coming to address all those issues. He's not coming to address those issues, and he got the people that were talking to him this past Sunday. Well, majority were clergy, and some of his spies, and it's really a sad thing that they
where'd you go? What happened?
Can you hear me?
Oh, I can hear you. Yeah, I can hear you. He must have went out. His phone must have went out.
Yeah, he fell off just for a second, but we can continue.
But he get back on. But we gotta understand one thing, man.
What's that?
Wherever we end up at, we got to start rebuilding. Wherever we end up at, we got to start rebuilding, because they are already ahead of us so many times over, because they have all our black church preachers and all our black organizations, and they have all our black politicians on their side.
Yeah, it's all infiltrated. It's all infiltrated.
So we infiltrated. We infiltrated, man. You know, so wherever we end up at, you know, and these here house niggas, they study even China, even beat us to the punch.
And you know the sad part of it, brother, is that we spend so much time fighting the system, and then we got to fight each other. And it just, we ain't got enough energy for that. It takes too much energy, man. And like you were saying earlier about other cultures that come over, you know, me being from the West Coast, and one of my best friends, he's from Chicago. He's from, Jerome. I think he's from the North Side. He's either from the North Side or the West Side, one or the other. But, you know, he's one of my best friends. And me and him, we sit and we talk about this a lot. And I learned a lot about Chicago from him. And that's why I have a special affection for the city of Chicago, because a lot of black people don't even know Chicago was founded by a black man.
Yeah, DeSavo.
Exactly. And he hit me to that, and then I had to go do the research, and I was like, damn, an American city founded by a black man.
Yeah, and they took it from him.
And you're right. Now, he does have a statue, though.
Yeah, he got a statue.
But nobody says
I'd give you a statue, too. I'd give you a statue, too, since you're dead and gone.
Right. And my whole thing is that when, you know, we spend all our time fighting and just going through stuff, just trying to stay afloat, and then when we got to deal with each other, it just becomes even more of a task.
Yeah.
Because like what y'all was talking about with the Al Sharpton thing, I had no idea that he was talking about, you know, expanding his operations in Chicago. And as soon as I hear that, I'm like, oh, okay, he got money in play.
Oh,
that's the first thing that pops into my mind.
He's been at the Action Network up here in Chicago. Let me tell you something, man. See, these fools sit around here. and they don't even look at the game plan. The game plan. Now, we got Jesse here. We got Falcon here. We got the Urban League here. We got the NAACP here. We got all these black politicians here. But all of them are connected up in damn near all states where there are black people. They are connected in damn near 50 states. They are together, and they don't do nothing without each other's approval. So it kills me when people sit up here and be like, oh, well, they don't like this one. Al don't like Jesse. Jesse don't like Al. That's bullshit. That ain't nothing but the nigga side game. That's what they use to make y'all fools believe that they working against each other. But all the time, they all working together. And, you know, it's sad. It's sad that we can that we even be treated like we're a bunch of idiots. Like we can't understand what's truly going on.
But here's one of the things that I've always...
They don't like one another. A lot of guys hear me telling me, oh, man, Al is the new king. Jesse finished. I said, you believe that shit?
But here's my thing. Here's my thing, though. And this is one of the things, as a group of black people, that we don't understand. One of the reasons why, because black people have been in this country as long as the oppressor has been in this country, then spent the same amount of time, because if we go back to the whole slave trade thing, okay, when King George and the Vatican got together and decided, all right, America's going to be the new frontier, and they cleared their prisons, and what they were doing was they were giving those indentured servants money to come over and start what we see it is today. And at that time, you know, I think as black people, we get confused because slavery wasn't about race. It was about economics. So what they did was they got the one group of people that they could forcibly get to go along with what they were doing. They tried to do it with the Indians. Indians was like, you know what? Fuck y'all, we'd rather die than be your fucking slave. And they damn near wiped all of their asses out. But the Indians were fine with it. They was like, fuck that, we're not doing this. Now, black folks, okay, we went along with the program, we came over, and then, because your wealth was determined when the United States first came into formation, your wealth was determined by the amount of slaves that you had. The land had no value at that time, none. So once they got it all over here and got it together, they were like, okay, we need y'all to cultivate the cotton. We need the natural resources. We need the gold. We need the silver. And once y'all get that together and send it back to us, you're going to get a stipend. We're going to send you money for that. That happened. Everything was cool. Then the whole slavery thing transferred from an economic thing when you had your Civil War. It became a money thing. It became purely a racial thing. So once we advance it forward, black people have never gotten out of that mentality. As a group of people, we have held on to slave mentality longer than white people, longer than any other group of people. And the whole point I was trying to make is that when these other cultures come over, they don't compromise their culture in order to assimilate into something that's new. They always, you can go anywhere in the United States, there's a damn Chinatown in any major city. You got a Chinatown. And when you go to Chinatown, they got banks, they got restaurants, they got cleaners. They got everything you need. Anything you need. Laundromats. You name it. They got it. However, we've been here over 400 years.
And you forgot to say they don't have no violence. You don't hear about no violence in their community.
Oh, trust me, I'm from Northern California. I can tell you something about the Asians, because the triads were before the mafia. Triads are thousands of years old. And all that shit you see in the movies, like if you ever saw Rush Hour where Chris Tucker went into the back room with Jackie Chan and Don Cheadle, yeah, I've done that in Oakland. So I know them Asians, them the biggest, man, they the biggest gamblers and gangsters around.
Yeah, they chop you up and grind you down the white powder.
Man, they serious with that shit. They serious with that.
Well, see, we, brother, we so busy waiting on a Messiah to come and save us and don't know that we got to do the fighting ourselves while we're here. For as long as we live until we die, we got to fight. Because,
now,
you know, we don't have nobody else to fight for us.
You brought up something very important, brother. Who told us a Messiah was going to come and save us?
The preachers?
Before that, who told us?
Oh, the slave master. Yeah, it was the master. It was the slave master. He told us to get on our knees and pray.
And guess what? Here's the thing that I always tell people, okay? If I was created in the image of a supreme creator, and I was created to stand erect, meaning to stand on two legs. I'm not talking about being crippled or anything like that. I'm just saying, you know, you're born, you physically develop. As a human being, you stand erect. Now, if I'm created in the image of God, why would God want me to get on my knees? Most people can't even answer that question for me. Why the hell would God want me to get on my knees when God created me to stand up straight? Get on my knees, go in a closet in the dark and pray? Are you serious? You've got to be fucking kidding me.
Mm-hmm.
You want me to lock myself in a room, get on my knees in the fucking dark, however, I was created in the image of God to stand up straight. There's a contradiction there somewhere.
It is. It's a conflict there because they not just only want you to get on your knees and pray. They want you to turn a blind eye towards everything that's going on around you and just wait until the day you die to live in paradise.
Exactly.
Hey, hold on. Hey, let me take a quick break here, man. And I'm gonna start by playing that great motivational speaker, Jesse Lee Peterson.
No, I've often said that. Thank God for slavery because, you know, had not, then the blacks who were here would have been stuck in Africa. And you see how bad Africa. Everybody and mama trying to get out of Africa and come to America. And so God has a way of looking out for folks, and he made it possible by way of slavery to get black folks into this country. But one of us in America, proud of it. I thank God that he saw fit for me to get here. Never mind that. You know, we were sold, I mean, my ancestor way back, way yonder when, was sold by Arabs and blacks to white folks and got us here. The white man came and brought us to the greatest country in the world. The ride over was pretty tough, but, you know, it's like riding on a crowded airplane and when you're not in first class. It's a tough ride. But you're happy when you get to your destination. And so the ride was tough over here. The pain for freedom was tough, you know, because in life, if you want to gain something, you got to lose something. No pain, no gain. So it was a tough. The pain was tough, all for the sake of freedom. So I thank God that he got me here and to show my appreciation to the blacks who suffer as a result of coming here, and the Arabs and blacks who sold us to the white man for going there and getting us and bringing us here, I want to say thanks.
Coming out of the Stingray Studios, London.
Yeah, that was a great Jesse Lee Peterson. Yep, that should motivate you to go ahead and do something better in your life if you're black on the planet here. Y'all get that?
Yeah, we got it.
So I think that all these preachers out here feel the same damn way. See that, Jerry?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
When Al Sharpton sets up his rallies and stuff, you and I going to be there what?
We're going to be there for?
I already made up my ticket signs and everything, man. I got my signs and everything. I got all my slogans and everything. I want you to be there with me.
Okay, I'll come over there with you. When is it going to be?
Well, I'm going to check. As a matter of fact, on Thursday, I'm supposed to find out what's the plan, what this guy's going to be doing. Well, actually, the plan, I got somebody else I'm supposed to be talking to. They supposed to know what's going on. So I got some business to take care of on Thursday night. But I'm going to come over there a little bit early on the west side and then go ahead and see what this guy is talking about. So I get back with you then.
Yeah, we you know, this is a real shame, because now what they really have done, it really showed us the error of our ways and the error of our way. But see, you just can't get a lot of black folks to really understand. Going up in these churches was our worst doggone problem.
Yeah, but you don't see. Look, man. Where's the opposition to that? Okay, I think these guys know that they went with, I hate saying this, they went with the people with the power, and they just surrendered. They surrendered, so they just gave up. And where are the real leaders? Where are the real fighters? Can you name a couple?
Man.
You ain't got nobody?
He just said it. They all dead. They all got assassinated.
There's some people out here, though.
In a public forum. Yeah, but the people that's really trying to do what's right, they'll never be heard. Because they'll never get no media blitz like these guys can get, like these house niggas can get. these house niggas, they can get all the media coverage in the world. Because they ain't no damn good.
Yeah.
And they've been like this since the 60s, man. Since the 50s. Since they 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s. They've been doing this to us. I was born in 67, so they've been doing this to me for 46 years.
So this is like a science right now to them. They've already got it down. They know what's going on. What direction they're going on? Because you were saying, hey, look how they did on the south side. So they already got that. They got that set. So they already know how to go ahead and do this.
They already got it set, because the south side had already been contracted out to the developers for the next 100 years. And this is nothing new. They've been fighting to come back to Chicago to really have the city. Ever since the 60s and 70s. They've been fighting to do this. But then they waited till our black folks went to sleep, got comatose, then they came in 1990 and started rolling. And they rolled that ball, and they pulled all these black preachers and all these black organizations aboard the ship with them again for the slaughter of their own people. For the slaughter of their own people.
You know, I need to go ahead and see where they got money invested in a whole lot of this stuff, man. We need to go ahead and find that.
Yeah, well, you got to find out the names of their corporations.
Mm-hmm.
You got to find at least one property that can lead you to the name of their corporations. And then you go from that property to the rest. And really all you got to do is go up in New York City, because Hey, it's one thing that they didn't do up in New York. They didn't set out.
You can't find their donors? You can't find a list of their donors?
You got to go. If they got private donors, you ain't going to be able to get that.
Mm.
Now we'll hang that up.
So you can go ahead. You can see who's been giving the money.
Yeah, you would never get that.
Mm-hmm.
Private donors, they don't have to open their books to nobody when it comes to their donors.
Rob.
Yeah.
If they're NGOs, which is an acronym for non-governmental organizations,
mm-hmm.
like the brother is saying, you won't be able to track it. And that's usually where the private funding comes from, is from NGOs. Those are the movers and shakers in everything that happens in the world, is non-governmental organizations. Those are the people, when you watch PBS and they show you the foundations that donated to this and to do that, and the think tanks and all of that, they do that for tax purposes. However, when you got the all of these institutes and all of those things with those titles, those are NGOs. They're non-governmental. They're not sanctioned by the government. They don't fall under the rules of the government. So whatever dollars that they can shake at somebody and somebody bites on it, it's up to them whether or not they want to make it public or not. So they don't have to make it public if they don't want to.
Well, it seems to be getting worse.
Go ahead. I'm listening.
It just seems to be getting worse, you know, and we seem to be going ahead and instead of going forward, moving backwards. And we got a whole lot of people that are going ahead and supposedly speaking on our behalf.
Yeah. And there's
but ain't none of them seem to be doing that.
Stuff to speak on our behalf.
Right. So how do you motivate them to go ahead and speak on our behalf?
They're not going to do it because they're living too well. They bought into the system. And system is a word, if you study etymology, system comes from the Latin word sewer.
Really?
Yep.
I want you to finish that up. Explain that a little bit more, man.
Well, when you get into etymology, you understand what etymology teaches is where words actually come from. So when you're talking about, just using that as an example, when you're talking about a court of law, okay, number one, a court, it's where you play a game. A basketball court, the bench, which the judge sits on, comes from the word bank. So in other words, the judge is just the referee. Now, when you have lawyers, they are officers of the court. Their job is to make sure that the money flows through the bank. Think of a bank on a river. The money flows. That's the euphemisms that are used that most of us don't really understand, that are the fundamental aspect of how everything is done. There's a reason why judges wear black robes. That's a cult. It's the cult of Saturn, Saturnalia. What people don't understand, wedding rings, that comes from the planet Saturn. Ring. Meaning when you put that ring on, and just like in the Bible, in one of the commandments, it tells you to never take God's name in vain. What people think is, oh, don't say God damn it, or don't say that. No, that's not what it means. Taking God's name in vain means when you take an oath. What does a president do? What does a mayor do? What does any official of government do when they go into office? What do you do when you go into a court of law? You swear on a Bible. You're taking an oath. You're using God's name in vain. You're giving up your spiritual right and turning them over to man.
I just say when you go to court, you just do a lot of lying. Look here. I go ahead and I got a few more minutes here. I want to go ahead and give you brothers each a little bit of time to go ahead and say your last pieces, and we're going to get on up out of here. Jerry, what do you think about this guy coming here?
Well, they got all the right, they got all the right house niggas in place, and they done pulled the right scheme, but it's only for them to get, like they've been doing, putting money in their pockets and then walking away looking, making us like a bunch of damn fools as usual. But we got to wake up as a black people. We got to wake up, because this is sad. Now, I just look at that link in the room right there, in the chat room. Now, they over there on the west side right now. Yeah, they Uncle Tom. They call them Uncle Tom. Uncle Tom niggas. There it is right there. They call them, look at this. They call them Uncle Tom and his clowns moving on the west side of Chirac. Yeah, they got their clowns standing up there. And I've been looking at this for the longest for what it is. Not for what they say it was or what it was supposed to be. You can't trust these niggas. You can't trust them. You cannot trust these niggas. Because they ain't no good, man. They ain't
you know
no
that.
Good. No matter what they call themselves pushing, you got to stay away from these damn preachers. You got to stay away from these so-called black organizations. Because if they was all that and so great, why is our black communities in every state, in every urban city, has been under attack on their watch? If they was all that damn great and fuds.
Good question, Jerry. Good question. Hey, Knowledge, give me a few minutes. We're going to do outside Chicago looking in. What do you think?
I think that this is a perfect opportunity for Chicago being a major city in the United States and having a very large black community to actually come together and speak out against what the brother was just saying and all these things that are going on. And this is one of the things that we don't hear. What we hear is the Al Sharptons. We hear the Jesse Jacksons. But we don't hear the brothers who be like, you know what? Fuck that bullshit y'all talking, because y'all been living good for the last 30, 40 years. Fuck y'all. This is not working. It's not working for the general public. It's not working for our neighborhood. Get the fuck out of here with this nonsense, because it's bullshit. And why are you bringing us here anyway? With that being said, we are in the Aquarian age. This is the age of enlightenment. This is where not only black people, but white people, Asian people, Eurasian people, it's time to wake up, because this shit is not just going to happen to black people. It's going to happen to everybody. If you ain't got money in this game, and when I say money, I'm talking about serious cash flow. If you ain't got money in this game, it's going to be like a tsunami. You're going to get swept under. And as a people, that's where our strength is. And if we don't figure out a way to come together, they're just going to wash our asses out to sea. That's just how it's going to be.
All right, brother. Thanks a lot. Thanks for coming. That's my show. I'll see you next time. I'll be on tomorrow.
Good show,
Rob. Glad you guys to show up. Peace.
I'm